All right, folks, this is Rabble Rousing Rich Bergeron.
This is the Tony Pinnacle.
And Psychic Tom Tadgett, Shiny Crystal Ball.
All right, well, it's another week with no big MMA stuff, no Bellator, UFC, or anything huge there, but there's plenty of stories to talk about. We've got one UFC fighter's in the news for talking about how he could get paid better outside the UFC. But this is a guy I've criticized in the past for his horrible style. Artem Lobov, Conor McGregor's buddy and teammate, is not too happy with his fight pay. I guess he's currently 2-4 in the UFC, has lost two in a row, and has a very bad habit of keeping one hand always by his waist. So, obviously, that doesn't help his striking game too much. He gets hit a lot more than he hits other people, especially in his latest fights. But he's saying he's going to go to boxing or K1, which makes me laugh even more because that's going to be even worse of a style in those two. But they'll pay him more, so it's a no-brainer for him.
Maybe.
He says, I don't lack any offers. I have a lot of offers on the table, some very good financial offers for more money than I'm actually getting currently in the UFC. UFC, this is the premier organization, this is where the toughest matchups are, and this is what I'm always after. Of course, it's a place where I want to be, but I was going to prepare that if I was going to let go. I had a plan of action in place, and I wasn't going to dwell on it. It wasn't going to be crying or begging or anything like that. I was ready to move on and tackle the next problem and see what happens next. He says, I know I've got the skill. I know there's not a man in the world in any of the striking arts that would just run over me. So I'm comfortable in competing K1 or boxing, and I still am, even though I'm in the UFC now. And doesn't say anywhere in here how many fights are left on his contract, but he says, at the end of my contract or whatever, or down the line in the future, I don't want to rule this one out. I will certainly explore all avenues, K1, boxing, all of them. His current MMA record is 13-14-1. He also said that McGregor won't be in his corner in his next MMA fight at UFC 223. I guess that's because he's still holding out on his next fight. I don't know. That's kind of wild. Another guy in the news from Massachusetts. Place sort of close to where I used to live, out in Webster. The Worcester boxing promoter, Jose Antonio Rivera, has not fought in 7 years. He turns 45 years old on April 7th, but he is going to be having a fight on his own fight card in August at the Worcester Palladium. He's calling his comeback unfinished business. He and his 24-year-old... go ahead.
Yeah, Tony, there's still time, Tony. There's still okay. Time, buddy.
Yeah, I saw that you went on a 4-mile run down in Florida the other day, Tony.
Every day.
Are we getting close to a comeback, too?
Well, I was just trying to, make sure that I was... sweating out all the alcohol that I was putting in.
Okay. But Rivera, getting back to this story, he has a 24-year-old son that's involved with the promoting, and I believe he's got a son, Richard, that does fight as well on those cards. But this is going to be pretty interesting. A big part of his motivation to return is to step in the ring with his son, AJ, who will make his pro debut on the same card against an opponent to be determined. So maybe that's not as... Richard isn't... It's got to be related to him. It's Richard Rivera, but... maybe it's his cousin or something. But his son's going to be making his pro debut, and the other... Only a few fathers and sons have fought on the same pro cards. One of them we interviewed, Hector Camacho Jr., and Senior, obviously, and Julio Cesar Chavez Senior and Junior also fought on the same card once. But no father and son promoters have done it before, so this will be the first time that happens. He's got a 41-6-1 pro record, the father. He has signed a two-fight deal, which will give him 50 pro fights. He says, I don't feel 45. I'm interested to see how my body responds to training again. And 3 weeks ago, he returned to the gym for the first time in 6 years. And he began running for the first time in over a year. He said, I had to convince myself mentally that I wanted to put my body through this torture because I only know how to train one way. It's not like I go in there and take it easy. It's all or nothing for me. Anyway. He says, I can't fight a guy who's world ranked in my first fight back, but it also can't be a guy who's 10-30 or 10-20. It's got to be a respectable opponent. So he's not fighting in the UK. We'll rule that out, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Rich, speaking of guys over 40, how's the training coming?
I haven't really done much, to be honest. I got to get off my ass this summer and spring because I've been using the shingles as an excuse of why I got out, but they're completely gone now. I haven't come back, so I did hit the bag a little when I was up in Maine. I just don't have any equipment set up here. I've got to get some transportation, first of all, so I can get out to the... There's got a new gym right here in my own hometown of Belmont called TKO Boxing. It's like a... I think it's like a franchise that's all over the country. But it's kickboxing, so... Well, it's right up the street from me, pretty much. So that'll probably be the first place I join. I definitely am still serious about it. And I definitely let my weight get away from me a little bit. I was up in Maine. At the beginning of the trip, I weighed myself. I was up to 237 pounds, believe it or not.
Whoa! Now, the plan was, you were going to be fighting 185,
yes,
right? 185?
That's still supposed to be the plan, so I got to get running. Big time.
Yeah! Jeez! 237. Holy
smokes. That's the heaviest I've been since I lived in Vegas and got up to 250. Which is another no excuse situation because I was out there in the heat. I should have been sweating.
250? Boy, you'd be breaking some furniture there.
But I did a lot of walking up there in Maine. I did a little bit of running and, you know, hung out with the dog up there, so I had to walk him every day. And I got down to like 232 by the end of the week, so I did lose 5 pounds. And now I'm back here getting ready to do a tree job for a week, so that'll help shed the pounds a little bit. Getting back on a good diet, doing the protein shakes again. But yeah, definitely looking towards maybe the December of this year or before Floyd gets in the cage anyway.
Hey, he's born the same year as you, huh? Yeah. So, that you guys have in common.
I think he's a year older, actually. They keep calling him 41, and I'm only 40 still. I'm not 41 until October, so. Unless he had a...
Well, you're both born... I said it's the same year, buddy.
I think he was in early 77.
Oh, so he's probably...
Right.
...earlier month. Aha.
He may be like February 77, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll have to check that out so I can send him a birthday card. Next year. Anyway. Enough about me. All right. Canelo Alvarez, we talked about last week, but I don't know if we got on the air with the fact that he's been temporarily suspended. I think that kicked in a little bit after our show, but the Nevada State Athletic Commission did temporarily suspend him. And I didn't know this until I read this article, but there was actually two samples. February 17th and February 20th that tested positive. So that kind of makes it interesting. They're going to have a hearing on April 10th where Alvarez is going to be able to state his case. And Probably not going to be bringing in pictures of the jacked up cattle that he ate. But he's
Myo-X.
He's definitely
that. Maybe that was his tainted supplement. That Myo-X. That'd be a good excuse.
And you know, we've already gone over what his opponent thinks about this whole situation. But I just actually published a piece, I believe yesterday or today. And something about how the losing my train of thought here. I think it was somebody else offered. I think Demetrius Andrade offered to step in for Canelo, which is kind of interesting because I believe he's still undefeated. So that would make a
well,
replacement.
Well, I understand, though. The problem, I like the guy's attitude, for one thing. Good for him. But does he have the fan base or the name or the notoriety to make it worthwhile? What do you guys think?
I don't think so. I'm sorry to say, I just don't.
Yeah, he's not like, you know, on the pound for pound list, I don't even think on BoxRec. So,
well, yeah, I mean, even among a lot of average boxing fans, it's like, who's that?
Right,
and right.
It's just like I said, I like his attitude, but the guy just doesn't. I was looking at his record; he just doesn't. He's not that active. So maybe Billy Joe Saunders will get his hand healed, and maybe that'll happen.
Possibly. But a lot of people, I think there was actually a SureDog article on this today. There was, there actually was. But one of their writers has said that no matter what happens, money talks, and this fight will go on anyway. And you have to look at the evidence of all the past situations where people use this excuse. And I don't think anybody was suspended for any significant period of time. And I don't think it ever happened in this high caliber of fight. Like, I always remember whenever I think of this excuse, the first time I ever heard it. And it was in relation to Orlando Salido. I think he was fighting Robert Guerrero or something, and it ended up being a no contest because he blamed the meat down there in Mexico. And then he had it happen to an opponent of his. Same deal. But I don't remember what the suspensions were, if any, in those cases. But when you have it in your blood, on your sample, twice, 3 days apart, I mean, I don't know. And like I've said the last couple shows, you really have to look at the hair samples. So I would think that after he came out and, you know, put out the quote that I'll do any tests that they want me to, I think the commission should say, well, you know, give us a hair test. If that comes back that you don't have, you know, habitual use of this, then let the fight go forward and stay away from the jacked up meat. But interestingly enough, this has a tie-in to, it might not be the same substance, but this has a little bit of a tie-in to the fight that happened over the weekend over there in the UK. Dylan White. And who was the other guy there? Let's find it.
Brown.
Lucas Brown. Brown. Yeah. Lucas Brown was undefeated going in, and both of those guys have had past steroid issues. And one of our former guests and somebody I interviewed way back years ago when I first started Fight News Unlimited, Travis Kaufman, was on Facebook the other day rambling about how, you know, he should be getting these type of opportunities, and you know, he's feeling bad that he's been a straight, honest fighter of his whole life and career and never touched anything. And now these guys are getting this big opportunity on HBO, and they both juiced before. So he's basically, you know, complaining about how these guys get favored and, you know, they just get away with doing this, doing their juicing cycles, and then end up moving on in their careers like nothing ever happened. So, It's kind of one of those things that you have to look at and say, well, you know, should we do more stringent punishments for these guys? You know, it's sometimes like the UFC seems like they punish guys a little bit worse than boxing. And, you know, it's maybe time we get like a 2-3-4 year ban for a repeated offender.
And, which would be devastating, you can imagine, especially 4 years in your fighting prime, and you're getting that back.
Right.
And people die in this sport of boxing when they're not juicing, you know. It's just like you could have a youth league boxing match end in death sometimes. You know, charity boxing matches have ended in deaths. So when you go to the professional level, obviously the risk is greater. And if you add the juicing to it, it's just a shame that anybody would, you know, forget about that and not stop to think, well, hey, you know, could I end up killing somebody over this? You know, or ruining your own life because you're, you know the side effects that some of this stuff has. But, you know, guys are still going to do what they got to do to make money, I guess. Or what they think they got to do. And speaking of making money, there seems to be MMA leagues popping up everywhere lately. We've got now big story today on the blog about Mark Burnett. I forwarded you guys this article. Getting involved in the Professional Fighters League, which for a while I thought was just going to kind of be another folding show like the World Series of Fighting ended up being. And some of the same people are behind this new inaugural league event here, or league setup. But I was pretty sure John Fitch was signed up with them when they first announced that they were going to do this. And he just left and came to Bellator. So makes you wonder, like, you know, who are going to be the fighters that make up this league? And they're already planning reality shows around it. And, you know, the same guy that's going to be reviving the contender here, Mark Burnett, big, huge media giant, is getting invested in this. And but there's just so many other leagues now. I just wonder where they're going to get their fighters. And they're supposedly going to pay them year-round, even though that's only going to be like a 10-week season. Doesn't make much sense, but we'll see. And then there's another one. You know, there's going to be a lot of MMA leagues when even the adult websites get involved in promoting MMA. A site called Cam Soda is going to be promoting an event, and the main event is going to be a legend, a true legend. They call it Cam Soda Legends, the fight league. But main event in their first event is going to be Rico Rodriguez, former UFC heavyweight. He is 54-28. He's going to be taking on Alex Nicholson, who's 10-5. And Rodriguez is another old guy, 40, just like me. Considered by many to be a legend of the heavyweight division. Competed in UFC, Pride, IFL, Bellator, and a handful of other promotions.
And former UFC heavyweight champ, by the way.
Right, TKO'd heavyweight champ Randy Couture back at UFC 39.
And lost the belt to Tim Sylvia.
Right. And Nicholson was a former UFC middleweight. He's been active since his departure from the UFC last year. Fights in the heavyweight and light heavyweight divisions, and he's won 3 of his last 4 fights. Let's see. This is great. The co-main event, we got another fan favorite and sort of legend. I don't know if you really call him a legend because his record is 30-37 with 2 draws. And he's got a new nickname. He used to be Crazy Horse, because he was pretty crazy. Now he's Charles Felony Bennett. Felony. I know they did a Strikeforce skit years ago. It was Elite XC, I believe, before Strikeforce, where Bennett got handcuffed to the interviewer or promoter or something. They did a YouTube skit, and it was real. Like he really handcuffed himself to somebody, and they spent spent the whole day handcuffed to each other before they got a spare key. So it makes sense his nickname is Felony now. That's probably a bigger story to that one. Anyway, he's going to be facing a guy who's just 5-3. Bruce, the Iron Lion Lutchmedial. Whatever that is.
It's hard to believe Crazy Horse is still going.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, he's had a long career. You know, I knew he was really out there. I don't know if his fight with Forrest Pettis is on YouTube. I'll have to send you guys that. He was just in a wild mood that night. As the referee was giving instructions, he was just mugging the camera, making all kinds of crazy faces, you know. And, and Forrest said Crazy Horse just talked to him through the whole fight. Yeah, he's a wild man. Still going. Wow.
And we got one big MMA event. I mean, obviously there's a bunch of them all over the world, but, you know, being Easter weekend, there's not a whole lot of action. But familiar name here on the M1 Challenge card. It's going to be tomorrow, I believe, as for us here in the United States. But I think it's going to be Saturday in Russia. And I can get you a pass for this, Tom, because I got the connection with Fight TV. I think it's going to start at 1:30 in the afternoon if you're going to be able to watch it. I'll send you the passcode.
Cool. Okay.
It's going to be a pretty interesting lineup. We got Alexei Konchenko in the main event. He's 17-0 fighting Alexander Batenko, who's 45-12-3. And then the co-main event is Boris Poljei, 18-6 versus Joe Riggs, 47-17. And this is a guy who's been around. He's been in the UFC. He was on the Bellator reality show, won that. Then he went to bare knuckle boxing for a little while. And I watched a couple of his fights, and he did really well. So now he's over in Russia doing the M1 thing. Not bad for a guy who pretty much shot his hand off a few years ago.
Well, and not only that, but you remember that hospital brawl that he had?
Oh,
remember,
yeah,
that story?
With Diaz, right?
In fact, there's a great animation, like
I've
a cartoon about that.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Oh, is that classic? And it has both their voices there. And someone has too much time on their hand to make a cartoon out of that. But yeah, Joe Riggs, I mean, there's all kinds of stories about that guy falling off roofs. I mean, it's amazing he's still going.
Yeah, 47 wins.
That's my how old is Riggs now?
You know? Second. He's probably pushing 40, if not already, in his 40s.
And you know, at one point, he was over 300 pounds.
He's young. He's a young guy. 35 years old.
Wow, that is incredible. Yeah, he came down. He was way over 3 bills. And I think he got down to about 170.
And here's a story you probably saw, Tom. Last weekend, I believe it was LFA, an LFA event. Yep, LFA 36, an amateur fighter named Drew Chatman ended up knocking out his opponent, sort of by accident. The guy fell on his elbow, basically.
You're talking about the backflip.
Yes.
The flip.
So he does a flip, this guy. He wins the fight. You know, guy's knocked out. Referee gives him the win, waves off the fight. So this asshole steps on the dude's back, who's knocked out, and does a flip off the dude's back as he's lying on the fucking canvas. So he got disqualified and he lost.
Yeah.
The most unsportsmanlike conduct you'll see all week, says the article. Yeah, pretty low. Pretty stupid, too. I mean, you really think you're going to get away with that? It's bad enough when they tell you not to flip off the cage and you flip off the cage and you lose your win bonus or something. But, I mean, to stand on another guy's back who's out cold, you know, and they need to attend to him so they can revive him. You're going to stand on his back and, you know, this is not a light guy either. If you see the clip, he's a pretty heavy dude.
Yeah.
Just classless. So, that's one of the oddest stories of the week. What else we got here? All right. I sent you an article, Tom, about Joe Rogan criticizing the win bonus. We just mentioned that too, the win bonus. on his recent podcast. He says, I think a guy should be paid what they get paid. I think if you have a contract should be for X amount of money. And if you have points on the pay-per-view, that's on top of that. But the idea that your win or loss could be in the hands of what we have deemed completely incompetent judges. He says, I've heard from athletic commissions, but I say go fuck yourself. There's guys in there that are fighting for their life. They're literally guys that train for months and months, and someone who literally doesn't understand martial arts is giving these guys a decision, a loss, or a win, and that's 50% of their money. That's crazy. I don't know how it works much differently in boxing, but I also know that they don't have the locker room bonuses in boxing that they do have in mixed martial arts, or namely the UFC. But Rogan says it's literally like stealing money from these kids. I just don't like the win bonus, and I don't think anybody fights harder for it either.
Yeah, and then what happened a couple of weeks ago? Adelaide Bird struck again.
Yeah.
Again.
On the UFC card, yeah.
Again. I mean, and who knows? They may, the Nevada State Athletic Commission may flip us off again and say she's going to be judging in the Canelo fight. Who could stop her?
There is a Canelo fight.
Yeah, if there is.
I agree with what you said earlier, Rich, in that article. There probably will be. It's just too much money. But still, what's to stop them from putting her back in again? It makes you sick.
And it makes sense. I mean, you know, there is the aspect of the UFC where a lot of times, if you don't win enough times in a row or enough period, you get thrown out anyway. So there's your incentive to win. You don't need the money on top of that. You ought to have, you know, the base pay to the point where you don't so dependent on that win bonus. And the other thing is, if you want to get rid of the win bonus, and if you also want to inspire people to fight harder, then add 3 or 4 more performance of the night bonuses. You know, who's to say you can't give 3 or 4 of them per card, especially if you're going to save the money that you're giving away in the win bonuses. And that way both fighters get it.
I agree with you on that, though. Who doesn't want to win? I mean, we've all fought amateur. And even in the amateur, you don't want to lose.
Right.
Come on.
So. Crazy stuff. All right, so boxing. First story is kind of an MMA story, too. Heather Hardy is still making plans to go do a boxing match in her next fight. She was going to go against Tony's cousin, the Hurricane, but the Hurricane retired. So now she's going to be fighting April 21st at Barclays Center. And she's going to be fighting under the Dibella Entertainment banner. So I'm not sure if Bellator is going to get a piece of it, but she's 2-1 fighting for Bellator so far, and she's going to be fighting, Aranda Paulo Torres, who's 12-2-1, so I'll have to look for that one. And she also talked about why she totally gets it that Juliton walked away so abruptly in this podcast that she brought the fight up in. Talk Box. It's a great name for a podcast. Let's see what else we got. I'm not sure if we went into great detail on this last show, but Anthony Joshua talking about, this was a conference call I could have been on. He went into great detail about possibly working with the UFC. But this article goes into detail about how they're really not trying to get him into the cage right away. They're actually trying to get his contract for the Zuffa Boxing that they're trying to get started. It should be interesting because, you know, they've got their own television deals, the UFC, with Fox and I don't know if they renegotiated that yet or what, but I know they're looking for other TV partners whenever that ends. But they've always had trouble dealing with Showtime and HBO. because especially because Showtime used to be a Strike Force partner. So this is going to be interesting seeing if they do pull this off. They're talking about a $500 million contract. And if they pull this off, then where's the place for Floyd? Because, I mean, you can't get that kind of money for both guys. And if you're going to pick one or the other, you're probably going to go with the younger guy and the heavier guy. So let's get through a loop and everything. But that's all if Eddie Hearn doesn't find a way to sign the guy back after his contract is up, whenever that is. But he did say both he and Eddie are talking to the UFC, so, you know, chances are that Eddie could stay on in some capacity and the UFC could still promote him.
Well, I would say Floyd has more name recognition, though, so you could kind of argue both ways. But I would agree, you probably want to go with youth and the bigger guy, but...
And he's fought so much in the UK, I mean, it's gonna be different, a little bit different, I think, for him to come to the United States and have to fight under the UFC banner, because they don't do a lot in the UK.
Yeah.
And, let's see, last week we had that big fight. I actually read an article about the Brown versus White fight there. That Sky Sports, that was broadcasting it, would not play the replay. The knockout was that vicious. I didn't think it was that bad myself, but I guess it was mostly because the guy was still down. They were tending to him. It took him a while to revive him. So that was their main reasoning. Well, let me get to that lineup here on BoxRec if I can find it. There it is. It was over in London. Dylan White came in at 22-1. He improves to 23-1. Lucas came in undefeated, 25-0, but it was a six-round knockout. Takes his first loss, and Dylan takes home the World Boxing Council silver heavyweight title and with the win. And then we also had a pretty interesting couple other fights on this card. Everybody got TKO'd in the main part of this card. Had Lewis Ritson staying undefeated, going to 15-0 against Scott Cardle, who falls to 22-2-1. He got TKO'd in the second round. And Ritson gets the BBBFC British Lightweight title. Frank Buglioni also took a loss on this card by TKO in the first round. And he goes to 21-3 with one draw. Callum Johnson was the winner there. He moves to 17-0, light heavyweight. Then we had Derek Chisora back in action. He's 28-8 now. Got a TKO of his own in the second round against Zakaria Azuzi, who's 14-3-2 now. All right, that's about it for that one. We also had another card in the UK worth mentioning. A couple interesting fights here. Andrew Robinson got a majority decision win over Nikki Jenman. Robinson moves to 21-3 with one draw. Nikki Jenman moves to 20-10 with one draw. Actually, that was the only real good fight on that card. That was for the vacant International Boxing Organization Continental middleweight title. Week. Not a whole heck of a lot. That's pretty much it. So for tomorrow night, we have here's an interesting one in Ghana. If you're in the neighborhood, you know.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to get to that one.
Joseph Agbeko fighting for a title. The World Boxing Organization Africa Bantamweight title against Frank Kiwalabai, who is 15-0. Agbeko comes in at 33-5. It's a pretty good fight for Ghana.
I mean, Agbeko, I mean, he was a really good prospect for a while, and then, I mean, he had those couple losses that really, I think, derailed him.
And here's one that we've been publishing stuff about on our blog, happening in your neck of the woods, Tony, at the Fillmore in Philadelphia tomorrow night. Raymond Serrano, 24-4, against Malik Hawkins, who's 12-0 for the vacant WBA, NABA, USA welterweight title. I'm not too familiar with either one of those guys, but every time I see the word, the name Serrano, I think of Major League. F you, Joe Boo.
They're selling those Joe Boos now, you know that?
Really?
Yeah.
That's fine. Speaking of baseball, how was your spring break trip? I mean, spring training.
Oh, my God. Great time, you know. The first day I got there, you know, I ran 4 miles every day. I think my sweat was 90 proof. It was, man. It was. I had some rough spots down there, but you know, we parted up. We had a good time, and like I said, when I was like, you know, going to the games, it was like the first day I get into town. I sit down and I go to the restaurant. I sit down and they're like, "Oh my God, you snuck in. We didn't recognize you." And I was like, "I know, I'm incognito. Why? Because I'm not going to a game. Relax. You'll be back tomorrow, right?" "Yes. Relax. I got this." And then the one day I sat down, this girl comes up, sits next to me. She goes, "Oh my God, it's you." I'm like, "Oh great. I'm known now. I'm like, I'm infamous." And "I've heard about you," and I'm like, "Oh yeah, great. Great, glad you people know who I am. That's fantastic." But, you know, it's fun, you know, I meet people and, you know, act like a buffoon and, you know, be my usual self and just kick back a few days. But still, the training was on point, man.
Cool. Yeah, I just unfortunately watched my first Red Sox game of the year. And it was like, I felt like I jinxed it when I turned it on because they started fucking losing like 5 minutes after I turned it on.
You know, it was funny. I'm driving home from the gym, then I drove home, and my Phillies were up 5-0, and they lost.
Yeah, same the Red Sox, pretty much. Red Sox were up 4-0. A guy walks four people and then gives up a bases-clearing double. And one more run, and it's 6-4. What the hell? All in the eighth inning.
No feel.
No Red Sox miracle today.
We have a brand new manager who's never managed above the low A's, and we don't know how long he's going to be staying if he keeps up this BS.
We'll see.
Because it was like he was doing all that analytical bull crap, and it really blew up in his face.
All right. Well, we've got some big fights Saturday to talk about. Well, big and small, I guess you could say. We got my buddy, the guy who's the son of the guy who taught me how to box, Mark the Bazooka DeLuca. He's going to be on ESPN on Saturday. But there's a bigger fight that might overshadow it a little bit. I don't know what their timing is going to be. The Anthony Joshua versus Joseph Parker fight. It's going to be on Showtime. And due to the fight being in the UK, I'm sure there's going to be some kind of a weird time schedule.
Yeah, probably.
But it's undefeated versus undefeated in this one. Anthony comes in at 20-0. Parker comes in at 24-0. I don't really think Parker has had the caliber of opponents that Anthony has had, but you know, at the same time, he's very confident, and he's also very pissed off about how Anthony Joshua has treated the New Zealand fans for some reason. I think there was some disrespect shown on Joshua's part. So, definitely gonna have to keep my eye out on this one because probably the biggest opponent he's had is his last fight, Huey Fury, and Huey's not even the best Fury, right?
Yeah, right.
Heavyweight, so. Let's see, I'm looking at his record now. Carlos Takam, that was a pretty decent fight. It's not a whole lot of big names. Franz Botha back in 2013. That was a big one. But he was way past his prime in that fight. He has a TKO win in the second round, and Botha came in 4 pounds under the 260 limit with a record of 48-9-3. That's Tom wants to pipe
Tom wants. I think Tom wants outside, huh?
Yeah, no, he's going to the bathroom in his litter box. That's what he does. He wants to tell everybody he's taking a shit.
What a loudmouth.
Yeah. It was worse when I came home from Maine. It was like every 2 seconds, whether he was going to the bathroom or not, he just kept meowing. I was going nuts. I finally just put him outside.
So he was mad that you abandoned him for a while?
I guess.
Well, he sounds like a spoiled brat.
Yeah. There he goes. He didn't like that, Tom. He's bad. But anyway, so Anthony Joshua versus Joseph Parker, we got 3 titles on the line, IBO, IBF, WBA, and WBO heavyweight titles of the world. So I'm definitely going to be watching this one. We also got a pretty decent co-main event, Alexander Povetkin. Speaking of juicers, he had a positive test not too long ago. So hopefully he's clean for this one. He's 33-1 going in, fighting David Price, who's 22-4. That one's for the WBA Intercontinental Heavyweight title and the WBO International Heavyweight title. And that's pretty much all the big fights on that card. Although Anthony Crolla is also listed, 32-6-3, fighting Edson Ramirez, who's 18-2-1. So it looks like kind of like a tune-up fight for Crolla. And then we go to the ESPN card from Quincy, Massachusetts. I wish I could be there because this is my old stomping grounds. This is where I went to high school. Oscar De La Hoya and the Dropkick Murphys are co-promoting this one. It's going to be on ESPN2 and ESPN3. Mark DeLuca, as I said, he's 20-0 in the main event, fighting Ramses Agaton, who has got 20 wins, 7 losses, and 3 draws. Then we got co-main event Jason Quigley, 13-0, fighting Daniel Rosario Cruz, who's 11-3. And nothing too crazy on the rest of the card. It's a good week for boxing. And I don't know if you guys watched the last ESPN fight card, but I did get to catch a little bit of it. I watched the end of that draw. And then I was sort of on and off watching the main event there that kind of ended in a little bit of controversy. Very late stoppage. And those guys were beating the crap out of each other. They had a big fight card in Puerto Rico. It was a Golden Boy Promotions event. And it's actually probably some of the best boxing I've seen on ESPN in a long time. And I don't have all their names in front of me, but yeah, it was some decent fights. It's always tough, though, that you don't get to listen to Teddy Atlas anymore so much.
Yeah, that's just noticeable. I mean, Hopkins is all right, but there's only one Teddy Atlas.
And it's tough to understand Hopkins sometimes, you know, it's just the way he talks so fast, kind of like our other buddy, Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah. Now I know we've been through this before, but once again, the reason Teddy is not there is
well, he went off on one guy, and he's just, I mean, he's had so many outbursts, and he's pissed off so many promoters by attacking the judges. And ESPN does a lot of stuff with Top Rank and Golden Boy. And I believe it was Top Rank that got most upset when he went off on some of the judges and the commissioners, and it was a Top Rank card. And basically, you know, his opinions got to the point where even though he was right, he was, you know, rubbing people the wrong way. So they basically just kind of gave him a hiatus. And then they also got the other guy that he ripped, a new asshole, basically. I never saw it. I still haven't seen the clip, but apparently there was one new guy that really didn't know a whole lot about boxing, and Teddy raked him over the coals on one broadcast. And basically called him out. And I...
Mark, yeah, I guess, yeah, he's a permanent part of the team now. Mark Krieger, I think,
yeah.
Or...
Yep. And I listened to him in the last broadcast, and I was shaking my head myself going, you know, this guy's worse than Max Kellerman.
Yeah.
Which is pretty bad, you know. And Max is in the news again, too, because he's pissed off Ronda Rousey. I don't know if you've seen that clip, but I guess Max and the other guy there on ESPN that's so controversial there, Smith, what's his name?
Stephen Smith,
yeah.
Stephen A.
And so they were doing a combined interview with Ronda, and so you know how Max likes to get this big, huge, long, rambling question in. So he starts asking about, you know, why Ronda thought she got such a negative backlash after her first loss in MMA. And he started saying something like, some people said this and that. So Ronda come right back with the answer, oh, well, I think some people out there are using the term some people to spout their own opinions. And she didn't really answer the question at all. So this is a little bit awkward for Max there. But jeez. Sometimes.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how people get jobs.
So in other words, yeah, so getting back to Teddy, I guess, honesty really has no place in boxing, we should say. Don't tell it like it is.
Right. I think it had a lot to do, too, with the Manny Pacquiao fight there with Horn. And
oh, yeah.
There was a very famous clip of him going off on Horn telling him he didn't win that fight. So that was a Top Rank deal, too, because Manny's with Top Rank. So I guarantee you that had a lot to do with it. But, you know, Teddy's got a lot going on. I don't think he really needs ESPN that bad. He actually used to work with Povetkin, didn't he? I'm not sure if he's still training him, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Speaking of him, haven't heard much about him lately, Povetkin. I mean, he's not getting any younger.
No. I just said, though, he's on the Joshua card.
Yeah.
So we should hear something about him this weekend, anyway.
Well, we shall see.
All right, well, I think I'm about out of stuff to talk about, unless you guys got anything to add.
No, nothing great. You know, I got my stuff for Monday and Tuesday's filming. A spectator in a huge fight scene. I don't know what that means.
Oh, you don't get to throw any punches then, huh?
No, I'm a spectator, uh-huh. Which is okay. I'm okay with that. It'll still be fun. That's all we want.
Well, I know that, you know, you're supposed to be on your best behavior, but maybe you could just jump in and make it look entertaining and you get an extra part for that. Instead of saying, oh, I couldn't control myself.
I had to do it.
Well, I thought it was funny, though. I was going to make a joke when I read the thing that you sent us about, you know, if you do, you know, if you behave well and show up on time and cross your T's and dot your I's, you might be involved in some more intimate scenes. So I guess they're going to give you a love scene.
Yeah, there we go. The girl that plays his love interest is not bad looking. I'll do it.
They'll set you up with the character that's Adrian's granddaughter.
Yeah, okay. You don't see me arguing. I'll tell you another thing that's funny. When I'm down spring training, and I sometimes can't behave. It's just the way I am. And I had this great one-liner. I didn't get to pull it off because nobody asked me the question. But it's like, are you here for the Phillies? It's like, no, I'm auditioning for my part in Creed 2. You know, Apollo's other illegitimate child from an affair with an Italian woman.
There you go. I don't think a lot of people know about Creed 2. It's be tough for that one. So.
It'll be interesting. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually saw a few weeks ago there was rumor going around that Sylvester Stallone had died of some pancreatic cancer or something like that.
You know, they always do that, and they always do that, like, you know, ridiculous. Like, they do with, I mean, all these different celebrities, because then they tweet them, picture themselves with a date showing that they're still alive. You know, people have no lives. You know, that's what it is anymore.
Yeah. Actually, they fooled me one time. I thought, when we were getting to this point in the show, that one time when I brought up the alerts or whatever, and it said that Stone Cold Steve Austin had died of a heart attack on his ranch.
Yeah, when he said it, I'm like, no, he's definitely not.
He's not Stone Cold yet.
Yeah, he's still stunning.
Yeah, and actually, they're talking about speaking of WWE and wrestlers. They're talking about Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania 34. She's going to be teaming up with Kurt Angle and going against Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
Yep.
So that ought to be interesting.
That is correct. Oh, hey, it'll sell tickets, you know? It'll sell tickets and it will make money.
I tried to get into the Monday Night Raw with my girlfriend's kids were over the house in Maine, and they're watching it, and I mean, you know, it's wrestling. I know it's fake, you know, so it's a little bit different when, you know, when you were kids and you thought it was all real. But watching it now, I'm just blown away at how fake some of it is. Like, they had a segment where a bunch of U.S. Marshals supposedly come in the arena and start throwing people around. And I'm like, does anybody really believe that there's really U.S. Marshals coming after wrestlers? Come on.
Yes, I did.
Like, the U.S. Marshal Service doesn't have anything better to do.
But well, he doesn't.
It was entertaining, though. I'll give it that. But Ronda will probably bring a lot of new eyes to it, so I'm interested to see how that unfolds.
That's a good thing, right?
Yeah. But there was a story that I read, too, that there's a lot of problems going on with some of these part-timers like Ronda. Like, a lot of the fan base are getting pissed off that they're not seeing some of their favorites, and that these guys are signing, like Brock Lesnar and Ronda are signing these huge contracts, and they're only showing up every other event, or they're scheduled to show up and they don't show up in some cases. So I guess there's a lot of the fan base out there who's kind of, you know, trying to say that some of these journeymen and stuff that have been there every episode ought to be getting that kind of pay, and they ought to be getting more of the limelight than these other part-time people who just showed up or can't decide whether they want to do MMA or wrestling.
The thing is, it's whatever sells. You know, and here's the thing, it's like, and if a pay-per-view has a great buy rate, the performers will then get a better chunk of the revenue. That's a fact. So, if you have this pay-per-view, and it has, and it's harder now because they have the network, and, you know, so you can't really say, well, this pay-per-view drew this many buys, because a lot of people that have the network. But, you know, it's whatever, you know, helps, whatever draws more, whatever sells more, the performers then get more. More tickets get sold to all the live events, more merchandise gets bought. That ends up working in favor of everybody.
Right. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that unfolds. I know that they had scheduled Ronda for a couple things that she didn't show up for either, but I was wondering too, they've been making such a big deal in the scripted part and the behind the scenes about whether, you know, she's actually even signed a real contract yet with the WWE. And, you know, the storyline kind of makes sense because you know how the UFC is with their contract, so maybe they were, you know, still negotiating the exact amount that she was going to have to pay them in a royalty or something for leaving her contract early, because I'm pretty sure she had fights left on her contract with the UFC when she decided to make this move. But at the same time, her agent is also part owner of the UFC now, so you'd think it would be easy for them to get it done.
Yeah,
But I'd be surprised if they're not getting a piece of her for at least the first year or two. Or whenever, you know, however many fights she had, maybe two fights left in her contract or something. I'm not sure, but she's probably still kind of a UFC commodity. I would not doubt if they're getting royalties. So anyway, and then the, we didn't really talk much about it, but the Professional Fighters League story. We're going to try to get one of those people from Mark Burnett's crew to come on the show next week to talk about that, because I'm kind of intrigued about that, and we can also ask them in the same show about the contender, too. So we'll get some, hopefully, some juicy details on that. And I've already got the line out there, so I'll keep you guys posted on that. If we can't get all of us on there with the representative, then I might end up doing it in advance of the show, but I'll shoot you guys an email if that happens in case you have any questions you want me to throw out there for you. I don't think they'll be giving me Mark Burnett himself, but it'll definitely be somebody from his organization. And then next thing you know, they'll be calling Tony to make a reality show about him.
Nice. I'm coming with that.
All right. So I guess that's it for us. Till next week. Thanks for stopping by.
All right. Sounds great.
All right, guys.
Okay.
We'll do it.
All right. Later, monkeys. All right.